Let's pray for Doug. Father, we thank you for Doug and for the testimony of his life, which is devoted to you. And as you use him as your instrument this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will talk through him and give him the words to speak to your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. It's good to be up here again and to see all your lovely faces. So, as you know, we've been going through 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, speaking about the different gifts of the Spirit. And today we're going to be speaking about the gifts of healings. And I'm sure everyone around the room has probably had some story or some experience, either personally or someone else, around healing. Maybe you haven't. But I think what we're hoping today is that your faith in Jesus will be increased. That's what we love to see. And we really do want Crossways to be a place where God can heal people as they trust in him. But before I get into my message, I'm actually going to ask for a few people to come up and share their testimonies. I think that's a good place to start, and then we'll get into the word. So I'm going to ask Pam first just to come and share a few minutes, and then Alan directly after that.
I just want to say, morning everyone, that it's a great joy to be able to share what I want to share today with you. And I also want to say, is this thing on? And then I also wanted to say that what I'm going to share has basically nothing to do with me. It's all to do with God, who is just so faithful and so wonderful. And I became a Christian when I was 15, and it took about 10 years before I ever heard that Jesus heals today. And it was, it happened in rather an interesting way. I was sitting in the back of a church. It was a visiting minister who came and he prayed for the sick. Never happened before that I'd ever come across. And he started praying for people. And there was a man next door, sitting next to me, who I'd never met. I didn't know who he was. And he said, "Can I have your watch?" And I said, "My watch?" He said, "Yes." So I gave him my watch and put it to his ear. And he was ecstatic because God touched his ear, and he could hear, and he'd been deaf. It was, wow, this happens, you know. And then so I began to hear a bit more about healing. And then one day I was driving my car, and I'd had a hectic week teaching and one commitment to the next. And I was on my way to my last meeting, and I had a headache, and it was a pounder. Now, you must know, I never suffered from headaches, ever. So this was new for me, and it was regular pounding. Happened like this, on time. Each time, it pounded. And I thought, okay, Lord Jesus, I've got to serve you. I've got another meeting coming. Please, will you take this headache away? And I waited for the next pound, and it never came. And I just want to testify that God was so good. That was a headache. He also removed an abscess in my jaw that the dentist said I needed facial surgery for. He also healed my neck when it was I was a teacher, couldn't write on the board, and I had no time to go for physio. And I went to our prayer meeting that night, Bible study, whatever it was, home group, and I asked the elders to pray for me, and they did. I was completely healed, never needed neck manipulation or whatever it was. And there were other many experiences that I experienced about healing around me in those days, which I could keep you here for half an hour. But I remember one very interesting time. I was in Port Elizabeth. Rob and I were not married yet. And I came home from teaching, and I had such flu. Oh, I was so sick. And it came suddenly in the day. And I put myself to bed, and I phoned him, and I said, "Please, will you ask one of the elders to come and anoint me with oil and pray for me after the prayer meeting tonight?" So he said, "Yes, sure, he would do that." So I heard the garden gate click, and along came Rob with not one elder, but the whole bang shoot came to pray for me. And they anointed me with oil in the gate. The fever lifted like that. It was just like Jesus praying for Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever left her. It was just like that. And I was right as rain, and off I went to school. And I could keep you here, as I said, for hours with other people's stories. May I share about Rob? May I do that? Okay. So Rob, as you know, founded, maybe some of you don't, founded the church here way back. And in 2008, towards the end of 2008, he started getting very queer feelings and strange feelings in his neck, which he didn't understand. And he was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. We thought maybe it's burnout, but it wasn't. He started getting discoordinated, and when he swam, his legs played out involuntarily, and it was really strange. And he was battling with his speech and battling with his cognition, and we really didn't know what was going on. And eventually landed up, we had to wait a long time for an appointment, landed up with a neurologist. He said his symptoms, he didn't know what was the matter with him, but he would put him into hospital and gave him all sorts of testings for various things. And he came back home, and the next day the neurologist phoned us in a panic to tell us that I must get him to the doctor right then, that morning, not wait till the afternoon. He had a dangerously low level of vitamin B12. His level had gone down to 79, a normal level is about 300. And had he got any lower, he could have landed up with two things, paralysis and dementia. And so we took him to the doctor and gave him an injection, and I had to give him injections every day, which was quite interesting. And his sort of level of where he was, he got to a better plateau, but it wasn't enough. And to cut a long story short, after 18 months of being booked off work in the church, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And when he passed away at the end of 2020, he didn't pass away from Parkinson's disease. He passed away from, he was 70, he'd had 3 score years and 10. He had seen all his children's children, and I believe firmly that that was the time that God had ordained for him, the number of days. We all have to die sometime. And he had 70 wonderful years. And the two grandchildren were here today. One of them, I can't remember which one of them it was. Maybe it was you, Jason. I called him Bobo. And after he passed away, I think it was you, Jason, said, Bobo can now talk perfectly and walk perfectly in heaven. Here the perfect has not come. There the perfect has come. And despite all that, do I believe that God heals today? Absolutely. I've had seen too much healing in my life to know that God is a healer. And that's what I want to say today. Thanks.
Thank you. Just a quick little bit about my story. 5 years ago, I noticed I had a lump in my neck, and I decided to go to the doctor, so I went to the GP. She was very, very concerned, looked dreadful, and she organized for me to have an ultrasound within the hour. And as I came out of that, Phil, who's sitting there, said to me, Alan, this is very serious. You better get it seen to. That morning, I went to see the surgeon, and the surgeon arranged for me to have the lump taken out and go off for biopsy. The morning I was going to get the result of the biopsy, I was reading through Isaiah, and I got to Isaiah 38. Hezekiah is sick, and Isaiah goes to deliver a message from the Lord to Hezekiah. And the message is, put your affairs in order, you're going to die. Now, that wasn't, to be honest, the message I was really looking for that morning. Anyway, I got the diagnosis, and yes, it was malignant, and I came back, and surgeon told me it was melanoma. It was stage 3 or 4. It was very aggressive. It was growing very fast. And I said, is it months or years? He said, months. So the doctors mostly said about 9 months. That's how long I had. The oncologist didn't recommend chemotherapy. He said all it will do is destroy the few months that you have left, the quality of life you have, and it might add a couple of months to your life. So it was looking pretty bleak. Now, the story of Hezekiah goes on a little bit further, and it says Hezekiah turns. It says he turned his face to the wall. He turned away from the people and the things around him, and he cried out to the Lord. And he said, Lord, please spare me for another 15 years. So what did I do? I turned to the Lord and just cried out to him. Now, we have children who are growing up, and my prayer was that I would be spared until the children left school and achieved some degree of independence. That was my prayer. Now, that was 5 years ago, and Nzuzo has 2 more years at school. Sheena's faith was greater. She prayed that I would actually be healed. Anyway, it then goes on, and there's a new drug has become available, like 2 months before, a drug called Keytruda. It had just finished its trials, and it was being released. And the oncologist said this might do some good. So the only trouble was it cost a large fortune. And we didn't have that money, but our family and friends supported us and gave us the money so I could go ahead and get the treatment. And the Keytruda seemed to work, and here I am still today. No idea what the future holds, but by the way, Phil's words were a miraculous healing. God worked in his way, in his time, in my life. Just to continue, what have I learned from all of this? What have I learned? Well, the first thing I've learned is it doesn't matter whether you have just passed your physical examination with flying colors or you're lying in ICU, you have no guarantee of what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. Without God's direct involvement in each of our lives, by every moment, we can't take our next breath. Hebrews says he sustains the whole universe. He holds the whole thing together. Without God's direct involvement in your life and my life, this very minute, you're going nowhere. Well, you're going somewhere, but you're not going where you want to go. It's not that I live my normal, natural life most of the time. And every now and then, I need to call God into my life to do something supernatural. No. I am totally dependent on God's divine intervention, involvement in my life every moment of every day. And that's where my security comes from. I learned that lesson. I hope I have, anyway. The second thing I learned, and this was humbling, was God showed me very clearly he could look after Sheena and the children without me. Now, as a man, provider, all, I didn't like that. God said, I can look after Sheena and the children without you. And he said, by the way, you can't look after Sheena and the children without me. So get that perspective into my life. I am dependent on him. He's not dependent on me. The third thing, briefly, was God didn't heal me so that I could enjoy life. If God wanted me to have enjoyment, he would take me home to heaven. Because we're told in heaven there is fullness of joy. It's not my happiness and my joy that he's healing me for. He's healing me for his purpose so that I can serve him and I can bring praise and glory to his name. That's what life is actually for. If you want enjoyment and pleasure, then pray the Lord takes you this afternoon, because it doesn't get any better than that. We are here for a purpose. We are here to serve him and to praise him. So that is my little story of how God has healed me. Will I be around in 10 years' time? I don't know. Will I be around this afternoon? I don't know. But I know he is looking after me. That may have been a miracle. I nearly stuck to my 3 minutes.
It's built up, but I think it's also just lovely hearing real stories, right? These aren't just here, you know, just high-flying. These are real stories from people in our church. So my job today is going to be to speak to you all about healing and what the Bible has to say about that. And just to say, we've had lots of very interesting discussions as our eldership team over the last few weeks. So I'm going to be doing my best to represent the team as well. And if you do have questions about healing as well, after the service or in the weeks to come, you're so welcome to come and engage us about that too. Okay, so maybe just to start off at the very beginning, and Pam, I think, mentioned that right in the beginning, God created this beautiful, idyllic world where everything was perfect. And that was his plan. That was his initial plan. But we all know that everything changed at the fall. And man was kicked out of Eden. And with that, death became a reality. And with that, sickness became a reality of the fallen world that we live in. And if we understand what happened at that point, is that in the world that we live in now, Satan still has dominion. So it's not like this is not heaven. We're on earth, and Satan still has an influence around us. And with that, there's also a very real element that the demonic can also affect us as we're living here on earth. So the first scripture I want to go to, and just to say I'm going to be hopping around quite a bit today, the first scripture I want us to go to is Luke 13, 10 to 11. And this scripture just gives us a perspective that sickness can come as a result of demonic oppression, which is really the devil's dominion here on the earth. So Luke 13, 10 to 11 says this. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand straight. So what's very clear here is that Jesus knew that this lady, for 18 years, had been affected physically by a demonic force. And it goes on in that passage to say how Jesus healed that person. But just what it does show is that the demonic is very much part of the world we live in as well. It's a broken world. There are also a number of places in Scripture where God actually brings or allows sickness. And Heather and I had some very, very long discussions at the end of last year, because I think our natural understanding of God and who God is that God loves. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And sometimes you ask, how on earth can a loving God allow sickness or even bring sickness? But we see in many places how God actually, in some cases, actually brings sickness or brings disease. I'm not going to go through a lot of details of that, but if we look at the plagues of Egypt, for example, God says, "There was me." He did it at that case. And there are also examples where, for example, the Philistines were struck with tumors. You'll see where God actually brings about sickness. But there are also many examples where God uses sickness and suffering to bring his people to repentance. And I think that's probably the biggest story about the Bible is not our health. As Ellen said, it's actually about our hearts. And so if God needs to use sickness as a way to get our hearts right with him, sometimes we see in Scripture that he does that as well. Okay, so that's a little bit of context around sickness and disease. It's real. It's out there. There's God who does his thing. And there's a demonic that is always there trying to fight against us as well. Okay, so what does Scripture now say about healing? And I guess the question is, what hope do we have? If we are sick, if we have a diagnosis, maybe like Alan had, there are so many different ways that we could all be sick. But is there hope? I think we've already started to hear that there is hope. But let's see what the scripture says about that. So there are a number of points I want to raise around this. The first one is that God, by very nature, by who he is a healing God. Okay, God by nature is a healing God. And he reveals himself for the first time in this way, in Exodus 15, 26. So at this point, the Israelites have just got out of Egypt. They've now got through the Red Sea and they're wandering in the wilderness. But it's been 3 days and they've got nothing to drink. And they are obviously grumbling. We know they did a lot of grumbling, but I think for good reason. And they find the spring and it's all bitter. And they're like, actually, they're like, we can't drink it. So this is what we read in Exodus 15, 26. God speaking to them, he said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So he just made this water drinkable. And then he says this for the first time, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And we know there are many places where God gives himself names and they demonstrate a part of who he is, God the healer. Also, I was listening to a really interesting podcast this past week, and something that I just loved really resonated with me because I'm an environmental person. I love biology. I love to understand how the world works. And he was just emphasizing the fact that if we look at nature, healing is built into nature. And we know God made nature as well. And just a little example, one thing I do a lot of is wetland restoration projects. I'm involved in a big project up in Kigali in Rwanda at the moment. And with wetlands, what you typically do is you put a big drain through the middle of it, get all the water away so that you can do something else with it. But what's amazing is if you can block that drain, within like 5 years, 3 to 5 years, you can have the wetland almost back to what it was. It's remarkable how systems can recover. We see that in forests, you cut trees down and natural recovery starts to happen. So there's this natural process of recovery that's God's. And I think also just if we look at our own bodies, God who designed our bodies has just integrated this amazing way of our bodies to self-heal. I mean, Phil and other doctors and those in that fraternity will understand it better. But I mean, I'm just amazed. Where's Jacka? Jack's not here now, is he? But when we get a cut on our arm or something, you go crayfishing, Tones, and you get your hand stuck under a rock, you land up coming up and there's quite a nasty abrasion on your arm. But it's amazing. 2 weeks later, you can't even notice that it was ever there. And that really is just, it's phenomenally amazing. And just when we break a bone, how the processes are there in our bodies, inbuilt, that God made, for our bones to be stitched together again. It's like it's not you break your arm and that's it forever. You know, it's amazing. And that's something that God's built into us. And I think even something like, you know, picking up a bacterial infection, our bodies like immediately go into response. And there's antibodies that our body just creates to heal our bodies. And that's just amazing. Part of God's design as well is this design of healing. And we see that in our own bodies as well. Okay, but now let's go to Jesus' ministry, right? Because Jesus is the one that we look to as the one that we're following and the one that showed the most miraculous healings that we ever hear about in Scripture. And really what it was designed to do is was to demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like. Right, I mean, am I right in that? That Jesus was around, he did what he did to show what the kingdom of God looks like. Is that right? Okay, he wasn't there just to show something different. He had a very clear purpose. It was to tell the good news and say, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And what we see is right throughout the New Testament, there are many, many examples of healings. I didn't try and count the numbers, but there are many. He healed the blind. He healed the diseased. He healed the sick. He even raised people from the dead. So like, if you're really interested, there's lots that you can read about Jesus healing in the New Testament. And he, as I said, he brought healing to demonstrate his nature, who he is, and to show how God by his power can intervene here in this world. This world is not just for the devil to do his thing. God can come and he can intervene in miraculous ways. And just as an example, let's go to Luke 4:40 and just see one of those examples when Jesus was healing. Luke 4, verse 40. Okay, this is what it says. As the sun went down that evening, this is after, if I recall correctly, this is after the Sermon on the Mount. So he's been giving all these teaching. Now the sun is going down, and people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. And what it says is no matter what their diseases were, I mean, I'm assuming that's like a whole range of different diseases, right? The touch of his hand healed everyone. And I think we just couldn't heal. If you read through, he healed the full spectrum of diseases, which is very encouraging for us. It's like actually Jesus can heal anything, and no matter what the cause. But I think as leaders and, you know, as people that want to see God heal, we often look for what is the formula? So what did Jesus do to allow healing to happen? And what's quite interesting is that you can look really hard And there doesn't seem to be any formula that Jesus used. There didn't seem to be any formula that Paul or other used that says if you do these things, Jesus will heal or God will heal you. But so just out of interest, I looked at one of the specific accounts where Jesus healed Peter's mom-in-law. Okay. And in the different accounts, it's interesting how each of the different gospels picks up on a different thing. In the case of Matthew, he emphasizes laying on of hands as a key thing. So if you went with that recipe, okay, lay on hands, and then that's what Jesus did, and someone will get healed. But Mark, in his account, his emphasis was helping her to her feet. Okay, he doesn't really focus much about the laying on of hands. And in Luke's account, he emphasizes that Jesus rebuked the fever, and that seemed to be the main thing. So like also the perspectives of who was there, they kind of read the account a bit differently as well. And there's never in the New Testament a very clear process for us to say in every situation, this is what you do. I will get to one scripture later about coming to the elders. That's a clear instruction. It says, when you're sick. But in terms of Jesus' ministry and what we see in other ministries, there's no recipe for healing. Okay. What I love, though, is that Jesus moved and he touched people out of a place of compassion. It wasn't because he had to. It actually, we see so much of in the New Testament about Jesus looking at people, loving people, feeling for them, and out of a place of compassion, deciding to touch them. Mark 1, 41 to 42 says this, "Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed." So just another example that Jesus saw people and he was moved by compassion. It was because of his love and his heart for people that he decided to step into that mess. And it's maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for us as well as followers of Jesus. Are we moved with compassion to step into difficult spaces where people might be suffering? Or do we just stay in our safe bubble? Jesus, with compassion, because of compassion, because of love, he stepped into those spaces. Right, and then moving on a little bit, it's interesting that Jesus didn't only heal himself, he gave power to his disciples to heal the sick, and they experienced healings as they went along. So it wasn't like it was just Jesus. Actually, the people that were following him also got to experience. They go there to Luke 9, 1 to 2, and we can read that quickly. Luke 9, verse 1 to 2. Okay, so these disciples have been with Jesus. They've been learning to become like him. They're becoming apprentices. And now he's kind of saying, okay, guys, I want you to learn to do what I've been doing. And just to say, this is very much what we believe is a calling of our church and every church, is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and then do that tough thing of doing what Jesus did as well. So this is a good example of that. So Luke 9, 1 to 2. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. I don't know, it's not clear whether he gave them this power forever, whether it was for a week or whatever it was, but he clearly gave them power to do this. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So very clear that it wasn't just Jesus, it was actually he was expecting his disciples to do this as well. So I think for us as well, a critical part of our apprenticeship is being willing to take what Jesus has given us and taught us and be willing to actually step out and do the things that he asks us to do. And we'll get to it just now, but the question is, does Jesus ask us to pray for those that are sick? And if he does, we should be stepping out and praying for the sick, right? Okay. Right, the next point I want to speak to is Jesus' death on the cross. And what did that pay for? And that's quite critical just to understand what Jesus did on the cross and what that means for us today. And I think it's quite clear that Jesus didn't only pay for our sins, and we have communion every week to remember that he's paid for our sin, but actually he's also very clearly paid for our healing as well. So I want us to go to two scriptures here. The first one's going to be from Isaiah, and the second one from 1 Peter. And they both speak to Jesus, what his calling was, and how he fulfilled that calling. So let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 5. So you'll know that in Isaiah 53, it really speaks about this, it's this prophetic word about Jesus and what his ministry was going to look like. So this is just a small extract from that. But in verse 5, it says this. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. So can you see that he's talking, it's not just about a spiritual thing here. He's also talking about what seems to be a physical thing. He was whipped so we could be healed. Whipping was a very physical thing. And he's saying he was whipped so we could be healed. And then you go there if you like, but I'm just going to read from 1 Peter 2:24, our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. So from what we understand of what Jesus did on the cross, and because of his compassion and love for us, we understand that healing can flow through Jesus to us. Without Jesus, it can't just come, right? I mean, we can't just say, you know, because of Doug, be healed. That's not going to work very well. It's because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we can pray, Jesus, because of what you've done, won't you heal a person? So it's only through Jesus, it's through God, and it's through Jesus' Son, he's paid the price for healing in the world today. Okay. Then, you know, the question is, okay, this was then. Jesus lived a long time ago. Did it not just, wasn't it just for then? And maybe it stopped even with Paul, but what about now? Does healing continue today? And I think, you know, we certainly believe as a church very much, and with the testimonies you would have heard, that healing continues right through today. It's not something that ceased at some point in the past. So we believe that his kingdom is here. Jesus' kingdom is here. As soon as Jesus came down to the earth, he arrived. I'm here. The new kingdom is here. And then he wanted his kingdom to advance through every corner of the world, through those that follow him. So I just want to read in that line from John 14, 12 to 14. You can go there if you like, but I'll read it. So John 14, 12 to 14. I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So can you see, this is not just about Jesus bringing the kingdom and saying that's it now. He's saying, actually, I'm bringing the kingdom. Now, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. So that's such an encouragement to us. God's desire is that his church is active and does more than Jesus ever did. And this church is the same, in a sense, it's the same church as was then. We're still part of Jesus' body that keeps going on through the ages. And then I think that the next point I want to raise, and it's something that we have been speaking about, is that, yes, God says that we must advance this kingdom, okay, and that's for all of us. But we also understand from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 that God has given gifts to the church. Now, can I just have someone to remember why did God give gifts to the church? Anyone willing to volunteer an answer? For the common good? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, but Henry's got it right. It was for the... And one of those gifts, very clearly, is gifts of healings. Okay, it's there. Whether we like it or not, it's there. It's one of those gifts, which is amazing. So that means that God can give gifts of healings to people in our church, each one of us, as he decides, and that can be used as a mechanism for specific healings to be done in the body of Christ today. All right, so what I want to try to do now is just to summarize what our understanding of healing is in the church today. And so this is a bit of a theological summary in a sense, but just to be clear what that looks like and what we believe we can expect. What can you expect in terms of healing in the church today? And that includes here in Crossways Church where God's Spirit is. And just to say that before I get into the detail, it's important just to say that there are some very different views out there. Okay, and you might be one of those people that has a different view from us. Okay? And just to say, we believe very strongly in the perspective that we're going to bring, but at the same time, it's okay. It's okay if you have a different perspective. I think there are a number of things in the body of Christ where we can have a different perspective, but we can still, in love, decide to live alongside another and serve Jesus together. Okay. But I think if you do feel, gee, what you're saying today I don't believe in, you're welcome. You're so welcome to come have a chat with us as well. And we can talk through that together because we would like to be in a place of harmony with everyone as far as possible. Okay. All right. So first of all, we believe that God is a healing God. Okay. We believe he's a healing God and it's reflected in his nature and his creation. We also believe that we live in a fallen world where sickness and ultimately death is a reality for each of us. Okay? We also believe that Jesus brought the kingdom of God and that this kingdom is characterized by miraculous healings. That's part of what the kingdom of God is. We also believe that at the cross, Jesus dealt a decisive death blow to sickness. And we read that about what he achieved on the cross for us. And that blow means that victory over sickness belongs to the kingdom. Okay. And that means that by implication, miraculous healing is part of the gospel and the good news. So that's something that we can ask God for. It's not something that was what ended 100 or 500 or 1,000 years ago. It's part of the gospel and it's something that we can trust God for. But having said all of that, and having said that we believe in Jesus and that he can bring healing, we also realize that despite his healing nature and the authority given to heal, God does not always heal. Many times. So for Rob, that he would be healed, and he wasn't. And there are many testimonies, I'm sure, from around this room where people have prayed earnestly with all the faith that they have that God would heal, and he hasn't. And we would say that ultimately there's a mystery to who God is. And we can try and understand God the best we can, but there is a mystery to when he does heal and when he doesn't heal. And sometimes he chooses not to. And there are a number of examples in the New Testament where the apostles and the disciples also struggle with sickness despite their own faith. And I got to say, when Rob was going through all his tough times, reading some of these passages from the New Testament was very helpful for me because when you're praying and you are trusting God with all the faith you can and you don't see the result, the outcome, it can shatter your faith because it's like, well, did I do something wrong? You know, was there something about my faith? Or do you not love me enough, God, that you would heal when I pray? So I just want to go through to a few of those verses quickly. So Paul was one of the great men of faith in the New Testament, and he had an amazing healing ministry. And so just if you didn't know about his healing ministry, let's go to Acts 19, 11, and 12. So Acts 19, 11, and 12. It says this, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Like that is just like, my goodness, like that is amazing. I mean, imagine just a handkerchief, touch Paul, go somewhere else, if someone's sick, that person's now well again. I mean, that's a pretty miraculous gift of healing that Paul had, right? We agree, that's quite something. Okay. But despite being gifted in this way, Paul experiences situations where people that are close to him don't experience those miraculous healings themselves. And so just to illustrate that in 2 Timothy 4:20, we hear this. Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Wherever that is, sorry about the pronunciations. But clearly there was this person, Erastus, that he was with, and there was this guy, Trophimus, that was sick. And Paul left him sick. You would think, well, Paul, surely Paul, you know, he would have known, sick person, pray for them, come on, they'll be well. But he's saying clearly that he left this person sick, which is strange, we can't understand why. And then Philippians 2, verses 25 to 27, it says this. So Philippians 2, 25 to 27. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God has had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So there was this guy ministering with him that was so sick that he nearly died. Here, he clearly has recovered. But Paul doesn't speak about this as it was a miraculous healing. It's more like he is just so relieved because of God's mercy that this guy was alive again. So that he didn't die. And certainly, I think, you know, as I said, our personal testimony is we've experienced that as well, where we pray for someone and actually that person doesn't get well. Then the next thing I'd like to say is that sometimes God uses physical agents to address disease or suffering. Okay. And so Paul, speaking to Timothy, his true son in the faith, says this in 1 Timothy 5:23. He says, don't drink only water. So this is not for teenagers, by the way. Okay. Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you are sick so often. This is Timothy, the guy that's ministering with him, and Paul's saying, this guy is sick all the time. So he doesn't say, Timothy, your faith is not good enough. He doesn't say, Timothy, come to the elders and we'll pray for you. Maybe he's already tried that. I don't know. Maybe Paul's already prayed for him. We don't know. But the fact is, here he actually gives him just like a common sense direction from the time that if you drink a little wine, it should help your stomach. Not for you guys. There's lots of smiles happening here. Eh? Okay. And I think, you know, we believe that doctors are gifted and that God can use doctors as well to be part of this healing process. So as a family, when we're sick, we'll pray and say, God, won't you heal? But at the same time, if the conditions remain, we'll go and see a doctor. If someone breaks his wrist, where's Rubes and the guys? If you have a wrist problem, we'll pray for them, but we'll also take them for an x-ray. Phil's seen us a few times. And you know, if necessary, we'll use a cast. And we'll trust, we'll use those gifts that God also has given people and the ability of the body to recover when someone knows how to work with that, to bring that healing as well. Okay. But that shouldn't undermine our faith. I think the important thing is what Jesus doesn't say is, go to the physicians every time. We don't see that. God wants us to look to him as our healer, but it doesn't say in Scripture, don't allow any exception to that. And I think we see as an example here, where Paul says, here's something practical that you can do about the sickness that you have. So what we really believe is that there's a balance needed in our understanding about healing. That God can and he does heal, but sometimes he uses agents like doctors or medicine, and sometimes he actually doesn't heal. 23 to 25. Maybe you can actually all go there, because this is now the early church, and the early church is obviously finding their feet, and Paul is giving them some direction. And I think in many ways what Paul says in these verses reflects what we feel as well, often as individuals and as the church. So verse 23, Romans 8, 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So can you hear there's a groaning there in a sense? It's like, flip, I wish God would always heal. I wish with my sin that it would miraculously just be taken away and it wasn't a struggle. I wish my relationships with family and friends would be perfect. That this person that I am would be redeemed right here and now perfectly. But the reality is there's a process in the journey. But what God is saying is there's an ultimate healing. There's an ultimate healing of our bodies that is promised to us. So the reality is we may not experience full healing right here and now. Some of us might have to live with all sorts of things in this life. But what we can do is we can trust that one day we will have totally new bodies where there will be no healing, no suffering, none of the nonsense that we have to handle here. And that's something that we can joyously look forward to. So that's the ultimate end that we can remember, right? And so let's, if we're feeling a bit disappointed that something doesn't happen like we know, realize that can happen. It's not just because of your faith. We're encouraged to have faith. Let's keep trusting Jesus, but ultimately know that we will have a new body one day that is perfect because of the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Okay, so wrapping up now, I want to ask the question, how do we work this out practically here at Crossways? What do we do? I think first of all, we need to each be reminded that God is healer and he is compassionate. So let's have an understanding that God is a healer and he is compassionate towards us. So his heart is that if we're going through a rough time, he hasn't turned his back on us. God loves us and he's compassionate towards those that are suffering. And that means that if we see people that are sick and suffering, let us extend love and compassion towards them. Okay. And just out of interest, someone I know had her husband was dying of cancer. And someone from the church came to her and says, your husband was that the church can do an error. That lady, 30 years later, still doesn't believe in God and is angry still because of that. So let's be careful what we say when we have people that are sick. Let's not blame sickness on people. Yes, it's true that sin, because of sin, God can discipline us and we can get sick. But that's not the reason why all of us get sick. It may be in some situations, but that's not the norm, I wouldn't say. Okay. I would also suggest that as each one, let's be willing to pray for the sick. If you come across someone in your class at school that's sick, why not you guys get around them, pray for them? At the end of the day, it's not us who heals. We can't even choose that God would heal, but we can pray. So let's do that. Each of us can do that. In our homes, when someone's sick, pray for them. And, you know, maybe it's going to be once in a while that God steps in and heals. But how amazing is that? It's just a testimony of God's goodness. So let's not give up praying for one another. Then also, I said I'd come back to the scripture, but in James 5, 14 to 15, he says this. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So what that's saying is that as elders, we need to be willing to pray for the sick. Okay, and we will say we are willing to pray. And at any point, if you want us to pray for you, we will gladly, with all the faith we have, we will pray for you, we will anoint you with oil, and we will trust God to heal you. What's strange is that it seems to imply here that God will automatically heal. But then the part of the verse also speaks about sin being forgiven. So he's talking about healing and sin being forgiven. We know that Jesus always forgives sin. A repentant heart, Jesus always forgives that. But our experience has been praying for people, and just to say, I've spoken to people in other churches as well. Their experience as elders as well has been that they'll pray for people to be healed, but they don't always get healed. So I think our reading of this verse needs to be contextualized in the reality of practice as well, and what we see God doing. And God is not a God who lies, right? So if every time an elder prayed for someone and And his word said, and God's desire was that they would be healed, they would be healed. Okay, and I don't think it's something that we're doing wrong. I think there's something about our understanding of this verse that God wants people to come and be prayed for. But then actually, I think we need to leave the outcome to Jesus. And then finally, we really do believe that God gives spiritual gifts to the church, including gifts of healings. We don't believe that that stopped some time ago. And we want to give space for those gifts. We want to see those gifts operating here, like the other gifts. We really want to see God working through the gifts of healing in this church. And in that line, the word was, yeah, we receive lines. One of the parts was that the man said, the best is yet to come. And we're trusting that the best is yet to come for Crossways. We really are. Then he went on to say that there will be midweek healing meetings where people come from across KZN to be touched by Jesus and for their hope to be restored through healing. Like, and that is something that we can't do. We cannot do that. We cannot say, okay, guys, from Wednesday next week, we're going to start opening up and, you know, God's going to start healing. It will be in God's timing, but I think we want to be open as a church. We want to be open as a church for God to heal people, right? We want to be open as a church for that. But I think part of that is also fanning into flame those gifts of healings that might be sitting in people here in this body of Christ. So as we end, I want to ask two things. First of all, is there anyone here that feels that they have a gift of healing or some anointing to pray for people that they would get well? And if so, what we would love to do is actually pray that the fruition comes to that gift. It's not something you can do. It is interesting, one of the great healers of our day, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, but he was told that he would have this amazing gift of healing. For 20 years, he faithfully prayed for people without a single healing, and then suddenly God intervened, and he started healing people. And now he's got amazing healing ministry around the world. So there's only all that we can do is come to Jesus and say, we are open, we are willing, and it's up to Jesus to actually allow or activate that gift of healing. But we would love to see that happen. So, yeah, we would ask you, if you've got that gift, I'd like to ask you guys to come up to the front. Also, if there's anyone who desires that gift, God says that we should desire the gifts that are for the building up of the body of Christ. And if you feel a real desire, not just, oh, that would be a nice thing, but if you have a real desire, and it might have been something that over a long time you've been thinking, I really wish that God would give me the gift of healing, then we'd love to pray for you. We really would, because that would be good for our church. It would be good for our community. So can I ask if there's anyone bold enough? It might be one of you. It might be none of you, but we're hoping it's someone here. Is there anyone here that feels that they've got that gift of healing or desires that gift that we could pray for? Dean, will you come up? Yeah. And anyone else that has that, come to the front. And church, I think, as we pray, can I ask you all to stand up and let's just all pray together for each of these folk, that this would be something that really does transpire in our church. Guys, come this side. Michael, come this side. Yeah. But Jesus, we just see these people, each one here, Lord, with a desire, Lord, to see you work through them, to touch people because you love them. And Jesus, you're the one that gives gifts of healing. We can't give those. And we believe, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit, you give people in the church, the each ones in this church, with ministries, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. So, Holy Spirit, as we stand here today, we want to acknowledge these people here. Some of them are already active in this gift, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, I'm sure their desire is to be used more by you because they want to see your kingdom come. And, Lord, there are others here, Lord Jesus, whose hearts are saying, Lord, use me. My desire, Lord, is that you would use me to heal others, that we could see your kingdom come. So, Jesus, together as a church, we want to just lift up each of these people to you, Lord. We lift up Savannah to you, Lord. We lift up Cecilia to you. Michael, Lord. Pam. Heath. Daniel. Lord Jesus, each of them, and Dion, Lord, as well, we just lift him up to you. And Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much that you, Lord Jesus, just see each of these hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, you see Lauren's heart as well, Lord, who she's wanting to boldly step out to you, Lord, but she's been through trauma recently. And we pray especially for her, Lord Jesus, that her faith, Lord Jesus, would be raised and elevated to new levels just because of your love for her. Lord, so we just, Holy Spirit, we just want to say we want to wait on you. We want to look to you. And Lord, we also just want to bring this prophetic word to you that Zach brought to us, Lord Jesus, about you using Crossways for a purpose that we would not have imagined ourselves. Lord, as elders, we would not have imagined Crossways being a place where people come to receive healings from you. But yet, Lord, that is a prophetic word that's been spoken over this church. And Lord, we don't want to despise a prophetic word, Lord. We want to lean into that. We want to say as a body, yes, Lord. We want to say amen to that, Lord. Let this place, Lord, be a place where you move and that people receive healing because they're putting their trust in you. So, Lord, together we just want to say, Jesus, please, won't you bring this about? And we pray, Lord, that you would start using these people here. Lord, we pray in the weeks and months ahead that you would give them faith, that you would give boldness that they've never seen before, and that, Holy Spirit, that you would inspire them and guide them to when and how to pray for people. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that we would be open to that, Lord Jesus. We pray anoint them. Anoint them with gifts that are supernatural, that are from you for the purposes of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, I just wanted to say one more thing, if I may. So often people come for healing, and they're not healed immediately. Jesus says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock, and the door will be open to you. So don't be disappointed or discouraged if you're not healed the first time, because often it's a process. And I know of one man who had a very bad back problem, and for 8 times he'd come forward for healing at the end of a service. This wasn't here. And the last time, he didn't come forward. And the minister said, why haven't you come forward? He says, no, God doesn't want to heal me. He said, tonight's your night. And he came forward and click, 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 and his back was fine until he died when he was in his 80s. So, I mean, that's just a testimony, but don't give up asking for healing.
And I think, guys, if there is anyone here who really does have something that they want to be prayed for, every week we would be open to that. So I think if there's something that is wrong you want us to pray for, please come to the front. And all of you guys who are wanting, who have asked for that ministry or have that ministry, please feel free. And I would say every week, if we ask for someone, or someone asks for prayer, as the eldership team, we'll come up, but you are welcome to come and join us in those prayers. Okay. So I think I'll hand over to, can we close? All right. So we're going to close now, and then anyone who wants to come for prayer, feel free to come, and then we'll have coffee outside. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time together, and thank you that you are healing God. And Lord, we just pray that as a church, you would increase our faith. And we pray if there are people here today as well that need a touch from you, won't you touch them, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.